Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 147 of D&D Discussions, the podcast for players and DMs alike, where we cover a wide variety of topics to help you with your games. I'm your host, Ryan Reeder, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, Ben Baumhofer. How are you doing tonight, Ben?
I am doing okay. I'm tired, I'm excited, and a little sad at the same time, because... Well, it has been a little bit since we put an episode out because life, which we kind of mentioned last time. But also, this will be the last episode of the year for us, which is a bummer. And I would love to do at least one or two more, but unfortunately, I just am not going to be able to with the way my schedule is right now.
November and December are pretty wild.
Yeah.
They run together. Whose idea was it to put Thanksgiving and Christmas so close together?
I'm going to say our forefathers. That's the best I got.
someone messed up.
Yeah. Right,
we need to spread these holidays out a little bit because it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy out there.
At least Canadian Thanksgiving is in October, but then, you know, that's meeting right up with Halloween. So, I mean, either way, just like the last 3 months of the year are just smooshed.
Yeah, it's like Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Just the end.
Busyness.
Oh, and
all over the place. And New Year's, yeah. And New Year's. But I'm excited. Just because this is our last episode of the year doesn't mean that we've forgotten about our annual tradition. Yes, we will be doing our annual holiday one-shot this episode, which I am very excited about. I think we've been tossing stuff back and forth, and I think we've got a pretty fun one for this year. So I'm excited to get to that. But first, just a little bit of news to go over. Obviously, the two new Forgotten Realms books are now out.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't picked those up yet, I've seen them in my friendly local game store. The alt covers for those, oh my gosh, are just beautiful. And you can only get those in your friendly local game store. So if you're an alt cover collector, the two are pretty phenomenal, but they're very very chunky, packed with content.
Yes,
lots of stuff, especially if you run stuff in the Forgotten Realms or are thinking of running a campaign in the Forgotten Realms. There is a ton to get you started. The Heroes of Faerun book, 8 subclasses, 34 feats, 18 backgrounds, 19 spells, the new circle magic, regional equipment, guidance on divine renown and worship of 42 gods, information on 8 factions, overview of 10 famous locales, and an atlas digital map, and just a map of Faerun. And then you have the DM side of things, which has 50 plus ready to run adventures for levels 1 to 15, 5 detailed setting pieces for like Icewind Dale, Baldur's Gate, as many people are now much more familiar with because of an amazing game.
Of the same
new
name.
Monsters and villains, magic items, regional bastion options, which is pretty cool. A bunch of maps. So there's a ton of content in both those books. So if you're looking for some new stuff, that is a great pickup. I've been going through mine just to get ideas, and there's a lot of good stuff that I'm gonna borrow from.
Yep. And on top of that too, the 3 like expansions are out now. So Astarion's Book of Hungers, Netheril's Fall, and then also Lorwyn First Light. All of them are now available as well. So, I mean, just, you know, you have your really cool stuff and then you have extra stuff on top of it and everything. So it was a really big release with a ton of different stuff. And I got to say, I'm a big fan of it. And a lot of the neat stuff that's in there is just already like kind of getting me chomping at the bit to really, you know, dig in and play some of that. So I'm going to be pulling from it and probably throwing it into my games. And you know, using some of those new subclasses and feats and stuff like that. And I'm just really looking forward to really kind of digging in and experiencing a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very good. It's very good. I've been enjoying it so far. So if you're looking for new content, that's one of the places you can go. And the other place you can go is the just recently released, Eberron Forge of the Artificer. The digital content for this unlocked just a week or two ago. The physical copies have been going out. I've seen it in my friendly local game store. I got my copy mailed to me, and it was we were talking about this right before the show. It's surprisingly small. Like I was after those giant like Faerun books, I pull this out and I was just like, wow, this is like diet Eberron.
Yep, it is 112 pages.
Yeah, it's very compact, and obviously it's a slightly lower price point too, but it's very much focused on kind of updates and extras to the Eberron setting. Obviously, the biggest piece of this that many people have been waiting for is the new 2024 Artificer. It has the new class with the class updates. All the original subclasses have been updated, and there is a brand new subclass called the Cartographer for people to spec into, or for your newly created Artificer to potentially go. We'll have a link to a lot of really good D&D Beyond articles in the show notes at dndiscussions.com that kind of talk about what's new with the Artificer, like all the new stuff, what's been reworked, what the changes are, and then an article about forging your story with five inventive Artificer subclasses. So your Alchemist, your Armor, your Artillerist, your Battlesmith, and Cartographer, all of which either new or got several updates along with the base class.
Yeah. And we've kind of talked about some of them before in the past, just as, you know, we've gone through like the Unearthed Arcana and everything of it. And I'm going to stick with it that I think the Cartographer is still pretty cool and something I'd like to try out. I mean, the Battlesmith is pretty neat too, just because, you know, I like having a, the art for it shows like this robot dog, like a almost a greyhound as like their companion, which I think is really cool. But yeah, the
art in the book is pretty fantastic.
Oh yeah. I mean, they've been nailing a lot of art lately, so it just, you know, continues that tradition in that. But I mean, again, the Cartographer is really interesting, and I like the idea of, you know, mapping things out and like the different meanings that can actually take on and be useful, like in combat and just, you know, in RP and other different things. It's pretty cool. So, it's got some really neat stuff. And as someone who hasn't really, you know, done a lot with an Artificer, this has some really neat, interesting things and ideas, that are a lot easier to grasp, I think, in this version than the previous, fifth edition rules. So mm-hmm. I'm actually pretty excited about it.
I also personally like the moving away from infusions to actual creation of magic items. I actually think that's really cool. And then the mechanics around them, being able to use them, being able to consume them for extra spell slots, then being able to equip more than the normal character can equip in magic items. But you've got a whole nice list. There's a lot of really useful ones. There's a lot of really cool ones. So I think that that's probably going to be one of the more controversial changes, I'm sure, because it is a very different system than the infusion system. But I think I personally prefer it to the infusion system, because there's a lot of really cool stuff you can make. And obviously potentially even more depending on, you know, talking to your DM or trying to figure out what makes sense in the game you're playing, in the world you're playing in. So I really kind of gives much more to the, I am creating something rather than I'm just taking something and adding some magic to it.
Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, too, I also really like the fact that they're continuing with the, you know, just the updating the different species and everything. So, you know, with this, you have the Changeling, the Kalistar, the Korivar, the Shifter, and then, of course, the Warforged, which I still need to play Warforged. I have yet to do that. Although the description that they have in here about how it's, you know, basically like organic material and inorganic material kind of put together and stuff. And I'm just like, ew, that's like making a robot body with guts inside. Gross. But only if you do it that way. I mean, there's other ways that you can do that. But
yeah. One thing I did notice as I was reading through it, which was kind of cool. They have more Bastion options. So I'm really honestly glad that they're supporting the system with the new books that are coming out. Obviously the Faerun books had some Bastion options. This has some Eberron Bastion options in the form of mobile bases, which is super cool. And also they have a whole suite of rules for airships, which is another really, really cool thing. And I love that they put in like an official set of mechanics and rules for them, because airships, especially in Eberron, are a very big deal. So having that type of thing and not having to rely on a third party supplement or whatever for it now is really cool.
Yeah, if only it had come out when it was originally supposed to, and then I would have had those rules when I made the airship for my party. Either have to retrofit or figure it out, or just be like, hey guys, here's new rules, let's do this. So we'll see.
Compare them. See if it's better than what you currently got, or what you currently got is working, you know, then do what you do.
Well, and on top of that too, they have a bunch of different like airship maps and types and everything in here too. So there's a bunch of really neat stuff like overall.
Yeah. So it's smaller, but there is a lot of very good focused content in it. So I've been pretty happy with it so far as I've been reading through. I think for the most part overall, the Artificer 2024 update was a very good update. Lots of new things you can do, more flexibility in how you can use stuff, and then item creation and whatnot. So I'm sure my Artificer player is very excited for when we start back up our campaign in the new year to convert his character over to the 2024.
Yeah, they finally get the new toys along with everybody else.
Yep. Yeah, it took a little while, but we're there. So that's good. But yeah, we'll have links to all this stuff in the show notes if you want to deep dive more. And then obviously both the Faerun books and the Eberron book are out now and available for purchase, both in stores and on D&D Beyond, if you want to pick those up.
Yeah.
All right.
You'd found an article from Polygon that just kind of goes over.
Oh yes.
Some of the Eberron stuff. It's a really good read. Just kind of, it talks about some of the
it's
stuff.
It's got a good rundown of everything.
It. Yeah. I mean, between that and D&D Beyond, if you're on the fence, I think that, you know, taking a look at both of those, you're really going to know what this book is and if it's for you or not. So
I love the pictures of the armorer.
Yeah.
Artificer subclass, because it's basically Iron Man. And I just love that fantasy. It's such a great fantasy. And it makes me want to play an armorer artificer.
Oh yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to
be a job artist?
Yeah.
Like exactly. you're making me want to join in and play these things.
Yep.
Very cool. Very, very cool. I'm trying to think if there's any other big news. The Mighty Nine premiered.
Yeah.
And has honestly been, in my personal opinion, pretty phenomenal. Like the Vox Machina show was decent. It's gotten better every season, I think, but this show just knocks it out of the park just right from the get-go. And one of the things that I really want to highlight, and again, we've talked about watching media, stealing from your favorite things, getting inspiration. Mm-hmm. They do or at least so far, have done such a good job of making spell casting look cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Instead of just like, hey, look, here's this really cool effect that's happening because someone says like, Ignis, and then, you know, fire just pops out. They really give you a gritty feel of verbal, somatic, and then spell components in this. I think it's actually a fantastic job that they've done.
Yeah, they definitely can get a lot of inspiration from it. Like, it was really cool watching even just the first episode and pointing out, oh, that's Featherfall. Oh, that's, mm-hmm. you know, the silence. Leap. And just all sorts of, you know, really cool different things, like visually translated incredibly well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, even if you're not a big Critical Role fan, just watching for some inspiration is it's a very good show.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, I agree, it's a fantastic show, but I know that Mighty Nein is like kind of your big campaign. Whereas for me, Vox Machina is my big campaign. And the thing is like, they're such different like creatures, especially in an animated form.
And massively.
Oh yeah. So much so. And the differences like accentuate both those types of storytelling and action and everything just perfectly with how they have it, like from musical choices of one versus the other, of like the style that they have, as well as, you know, just, like, I don't know, like I'm having such a hard time like putting words to it. Like the character depth and development is so different because we jump in at a different part of their, you know, like adventuring careers versus with Vox Machina, how we jumped in and, you know, they've been working together for a while and stuff. So it is very different. And even if you've heard the campaign, it starts off before like the campaign started. So you get some more backstory and some deeper.
Yeah. The whole first two episodes are basically their session zero.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And
which
I mean,
is very cool.
Just overall, it's a different take on the same world. It's the same company doing the animation. So, you know, it's great. It does take place in the same world, but in different continents and stuff. So it's great. They're amazing sides to the same coin. And I think that's, you know, well, I'm really sad that there's only three more episodes of Mighty Nein left before, you know, the first season's done. But they're longer episodes to begin with. So, you know, it's kind of like that good give take there.
Yeah, but highly recommend. It's very good. And it's really fun just seeing this very well done story in animated
form. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right, Ben. I think it's time. we are going to shift over to our annual holiday one shot. And so for those of you who haven't heard a Christmas episode before, every year we basically take a theme or an idea and we craft a one shot, a holiday one shot out of it live. We obviously have talked about this a little bit, but not a lot. Like we've discussed just a few little bits and pieces. So a lot of this we're going to be creating as we go. We've actually even had people run some of them and reported back. And those have been just so much fun to hear about people running the holiday one shot. So if you have done one before or you plan on doing this one, please let us know, because we love hearing those stories.
Yeah. And this one is, you know, slightly less just on the spot like we'd have in the previous years, just because I came up with the idea and it's one of those things where it's like, you know what? I need to just like stew on this for a while. And I need Ryan to stew on it for a while to really give the theme justice. Otherwise, it's a sloppy mess. Like when we first like kind of threw out a couple ideas, it was just kind of like, okay, well, here's this and that, and it didn't kind of work. And then we had to postpone for like a week. And then since then, like, we've come up with a much better version of a good start to this.
Yeah. Yeah. So this year we are basing our holiday one shot off of your classic traditional Hallmark movies. So we will be crafting a one shot full of small towns, intrigue, love, and rivalry. So Ben,
in a D&D style.
So, as for the initial premise, we were kind of throwing some stuff back and forth. And so Hallmark movies have a few just like underlying themes around them, especially these Christmas movies. Usually there's some sort of relationship or romance. Usually it's the holiday time. Usually there's some sort of conflict that someone has to help solve. Usually it snows on Christmas because of course it does. So as an overview, we are going to the overarching story is basically there is this small town.
Mm-hmm.
And in this town, there were these two individuals that were amazing friends growing up. They even went to the local wizard and they had their kind of friendship relationship solidified through this magic amulet. And
yeah, think like best friends, the little heart kind of necklace. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And while they were close to each other, it just so happened that the magic, this spell or whatever, source had some unexpected benefits and benefited the town. Like the weather got better, crops grew better. There was a seemingly almost like a protection around this town.
I think that needs to be unbeknownst to them though.
Yes. Unbeknownst to them. It's just, you can allude to it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going through like your backstory or whatever, but you know, as you get older, things change, people change, and one of them left the town to go off and do their own thing. Unbeknownst to them, because of what happened, after they left, things started taking a turn for the worst. Weather was worse. Crops did not grow as well. Maybe things started failing. Maybe like things became run down easier. Maybe the general mood of the town soured and it left the town open to infiltration or takeover. So with that backstory out of the way, we'll start kind of with you and your party. You are the protagonists of this Hallmark movie, and you have heard of this town. The mayor has pled that, you know, oh my God, these things they're happening. And then this evil person has come in and started taking over businesses, and their people have started, taking over your small businesses, your shops, your commerce, and kind of everyone is now having to rely on this like big bad banker guy or whatever, and it's just making things so much worse. And the person who moved away they are currently in a similar field as this bad person that came in. And so this mayor is just like, hey, we need you to go get this person to come back and help us. Like, they're a lawyer, or they're a banker, or whatever.
I think what we need to do with this is they need to be the instigating factor of going back. Like, I feel that we need to be like, go with a, your father or mother or something has gotten ill and you have to go back to the town, you know, to help out with either their business or, to kind of, help them through their sickness or something like that. Because I don't think having the town call for the help, one, fits in with the tropes as much, but two, I think that we need to kind of more stumble upon the situation in this sense.
So maybe we do something like that, but you go to the town and you hear about all this stuff.
Yeah. Like,
while you're there,
since this person has left, I'm going to go with traditional Hallmark here and say that she left to, you know, find her fortune to better her family's life or something along those lines, and has done very well for herself in the big city.
In the big city.
Yeah. And hearing that her parent has fallen ill, she requires an escort to go back to town because, you know, she's big, affluent, you know, high city person.
I like that. That's a great way to get the party involved without the town pulling them.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's good.
On top of that too, I think it saves it from having the, you know, that second half of this powerful thing being one of the players, so that they're still able to, you know, free to leave at the end of the adventure and everything and save the town and keep it going good.
Exactly. You don't want your other half of the amulet or something to be someone who's playing and would need to stay on to protect this. But so that's great. So that's great. Let's go with that. So she has family there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's word of, you know, people falling sick. Maybe a sickness is spreading.
Ooh, I like that.
And interestingly, it just coincided or close to coincided with this other person who's come in and started taking the town over.
Yeah. I think that at this point we need to figure out exactly like the underlying, what this person is, whether it's a cult leader or like a necromancer or, you know, something along those lines, so that, you know, they're going to come into the town, basically suck it dry of something, and then move forward.
Yeah, because again, this is a Hallmark movie in D&D. So I like the idea of a necromancer or a lich who comes in and is just like feeding off the people or the energy of the town.
Yeah.
Because there is no more protections in place that kept this necromancer or lich from coming before. And heck, if you do a lich, you could even make this a higher level one shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Two, which is always fun.
Yeah. Right? And liches raise the dead. So, you know, you can level this however, which way you want to go. So going forward, we're just going to say, BBEG, let it be what you want. They're sucking the town dry of their very essence to fuel their, undead army or their sacrifice to their god or their own personal power. So either way, we want to go with this.
Unfettered capitalism.
Yes, exactly. Which falls in with it too. Yeah, totally.
That sounds like a Hallmarky trope.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So to jump into the trope on top of that, then we need to figure out the friend. I'm going with he, just again, traditional Hallmark movie tropes. I think that either he needs to work for the bad guy or be one of the few people who still has a business or something open in town that is on the verge of failing.
He's trying. Yeah. He's Yeah, let's do that. He's one of the few people who's been able to hold out, but the tax man cometh type.
Yeah.
Type thing. And so he's on the verge of losing everything. So that adds your stakes, that adds your drama, your emotional drama, right? Because then you can play up the, oh, I'm about to lose everything. I'm trying so hard. You know, I can't seem to do X, Y, Z.
But the amulet keeps his spirits high. He's one of the only people who hasn't succumbed to the darkness of the area.
Because it's still working a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Because that little hint of magic is still there.
Yeah. And so, with that out of the way, you're hired to protect this person going back from the big city. You could have one or two little random encounters or some fun encounters on the road where you have to protect it like a banker or a lawyer or something like that. Protect from bandits.
Yeah.
That's a classical thing, on the road.
Then as you get closer to town, kind
of give you a little bit of combat too.
Yeah. Some sort of like just very simple undead thing, which banker lady says, oh, that's interesting. That's never really happened around here before.
Yes. Let's theme it. Theme it to as kind of like a taste of what you're walking into.
Yes.
Before they get to town, because the whole area is becoming corrupted.
Yep.
So because there's a ton of really, really good undeady fiendy type things that you could put together to throw at them as they're trying to get to the town. Because why would the lich or the necromancer or whoever want people coming in?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you don't want outside people coming in, especially to see, figure out what's going on or see what's going on. Potentially it gets out to tell others, no, you want to keep a tight rein on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Then get into town, kind of see that it's failing. You know, some of the buildings are dilapidated, like you were saying. The color's kind of gone from the grass. The trees are, you know, it's not just winter, but they're sickly. You go and visit the failing, health parent, whoever it is. And the friend is there giving them soup or something when you walk in.
And that's how you kind of reignite the, oh, it's you.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Because they were really good friends in the past.
Yeah. You don't see the amulet yet.
I think you kind of, again, you hint toward these things. You kind of keep that under wraps.
Yeah.
From the players. And you, that's kind of doled out as you go.
Like, oh, you always seem to be in a good mood. You always seem to be smiling or positive or something like that. Just like when we were kids.
And for her, obviously, while you're describing her or him or whoever left their character, you can describe the necklace that they always wear.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, what looks like a broken
pendant,
half of a gemstone or pendant or something like that. Yeah.
So then you get the information. At this point, I'm assuming you figure out a couple different, you know, types of encounters to offer to get information, whether it's talking to some of the other like business owners to kind of find out what happened to their business, maybe talking to the farmers to find out, you know, kind of about corruption, or, you know, go to the mayor themselves and, you know, see what's going on in town or something along those lines. And of course, they're going to be shady as heck. To, you know, like inside checks, DCs are going to be real low in order to figure out that something's not right with what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I figure you need to stumble upon some sort of big trigger event, whether it is plans or something like that.
I feel like the trigger event should be the guy that they've heard about who moved in and is like buying all this stuff up. The trigger event should be like him or him sending goons or whatever to your town protagonist shop to finally close it down.
Ooh, I like that. Okay. Yeah. I think that is a good.
That ignites the conflict there. And obviously something's not quite right with those goons. Something's off. And you can basically drop the hints, have perception, whatever you need to figure out that, oh, these guys are undead things. And then maybe that's a combat right there to protect the protagonist in town, and kind of give some backstory a little bit to them, the two protagonists, and then a combat to defeat these minions, which will then, because I mean, again, this is a one shot where we're looking for like, you know, 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
And that conflict can then lead to the protagonist kind of informing more about what's been happening and then lead to the big bad guy.
I like that. Don't have the protagonist be the one to do it, though. They need to. Okay, I got this.
Okay, yeah.
So you're supposed to meet them at their business. You go there, and that is when you see the brutes destroying windows or, you know, whatever, basically, you know, destroying the business or whatever.
Yeah.
Townie is not there. As you're defeating the brutes, the highfalutin banker, big time city person, their amulet does a pulse or a glow or something that helps turn the tide in combat just enough to like hurt the zombies or undead or whatever to give the hint of some sort of power there. Then you find out that the townie guy has been taken captive by the mayor or whatever.
The dude who's buying everything up.
Yeah, exactly.
Your big bad. No, I like that because then you can set up that conflict really well. And then you can have an event during the final confrontation where it's either you can free the guy, you can hint at the thing, and then the guy can be like, I still have mine.
Exactly.
And then the characters can put them together, and that can help turn the tide of the latter half of the big bad fight.
Exactly. And then
maybe destroy all the minions around it or something. Or
weaken a shield.
Weaken the big bad guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
So then big bad guy is dead. They find each other again, embrace, because, you know, friends do that. Then when you go back outside, it's the first sunshine of a brand new. No, it always snows at Christmas. So you walk outside and the dark clouds have turned into nice kind of fluffier clouds and snow starts falling. And as the snow lands and hits, cleans up some of the corruption that's been happening.
Yeah, you visually see the corruption begin to fade. Maybe you see like
have it like buildings burn off and store or something.
Buildings and storefronts. Yeah. Kind of get like mended magically. And then maybe the two protagonists, like you can have a nice little scene of them professing love for each other. Like, I've missed you so much. I've thought about you a lot. I can't believe I left for good reasons, but I want to come back.
Yeah, you were always on my mind.
I want to be with you. Yeah, I want to be with you. And then maybe as the snow is falling, as things are being mended magically, as just like an aura starting from them and going, and then they like kiss and their necklaces come into contact and fuse together into one with, and you know, just glows brightly, and that's a wrap.
Yeah, because the real treasure was at home all along.
Yep. The camera pans back and you see a whole view of the town like centered on them as you pull back, and you see the town just like getting magically mended, the fields around, and trees turning from decay to beautiful snow covered. Because there's like depressing snow covered, and then yeah, there's just like beautiful.
Oh yeah, snow definitely covered. Anybody who's been around snow definitely knows that.
Yeah. So yeah, they get your, you know, you describe, you get your camera pan back, and then the credits roll.
Yeah, I think that'll work. And of course that is a bit more, you know, plot driven, like a little bit more railroady, but here's the best part about that is that as long as you have, you know, something happening where you can get your main characters with the out of townie to go confront the bad guy, you've got your ending. So you can juggle that around, do a whole bunch of other stuff with that. You basically just need the set pieces of they're there when you arrived to town, and then you're going to go meet them at some point, and they were taken captive.
Yep. And I and again, it's a one shot. So groups should be prepared, or you should prep them, that it's going to be more railroady, right? This is a contained story that we're going to try and get done in 3 to 4 hours. Right.
Exactly.
So you have maybe 2 to 3 small combat scenarios in that. You've got some good
Hallmark role play
interaction. Yeah. You know, some good role play, some good interaction, social. That's the word I was looking for. Social scenarios as you're doing some investigative work, trying to figure out what's going on with the town. You've got some good emotional heartstrings you can pull with the sick people, with the failing businesses, with the, you know, love lost type things. It's got a little bit of everything, which is what most good one shots. Yeah. You want to have a little bit of everything, especially for ones where it's just like, I'm going to introduce someone to D&D, or this might be someone's first game or one of their first games type thing. Because this is a very family friendly one shot.
Yeah. This is a Hallmark family movie. So of course you bring in your family to play this, and they'll appreciate the tropes if it's something that they've seen 100 times in 100 different movies. But that being said, I found a list of Hallmark Christmas movie tropes on Screen Rant that we're also going to link. So you can dig through and find, you know, what works for you. Like if you don't like the idea of, you know, the lich guy is taking over the town, there's 20 other things that you can probably go with and kind of figure it out. And I mean, just, you know, pick and choose and craft something, you know, that's just kind of hokey and tropey, but just, you know, kind of nice and gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling at the end.
Yeah, honestly, that article you found was really great, because with the kind of like skeleton and bone structure that we gave you, there's a lot of those that you can fit in to make it feel a little more, you know, tropey, cheesy, Hallmarky type of a one shot. There's a lot of really good ideas in there that you should be able to roll in as you're going through the main story. So definitely check that out if it's something you want to run, because it is a very fun deal.
Yeah. I'm proud of every single one that we've come up with. This one also proud. I think we nailed this one.
Yeah. I like the idea of like Hallmark movies are very traditionally Christmassy, a little cheesy, family friendly, just kind of like a mark of the holidays. And so turning that into like just a fun holiday D&D one shot, I think is really, really fun.
Yeah, most definitely. All right. Really, really
fun. So like I said, if you've run one of our Christmas one shots before, or you end up running this particular one, please let us know. We would love to hear the story of what your group did and how you ran it. It'd be very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So before we wrap up, I wanted to give one more community shout out. So we talked a little bit about the Forgotten Realms books earlier on in the episode. Well, the Forgotten Realms creator, Ed Greenwood, is going to be releasing 4 Faerun books next year. These are obviously not like from official Wizards of the Coast, but Ed's going to be doing 4 new books, I think once a quarter next year. These books are basically going to round out the Dale Lands region of Faerun. And so I believe that's going to come through his website or Patreon or DriveThruRPG. We'll let you know once they start, you know, being more official, and once he starts, you know, releasing everything. But essentially, it's a comprehensive and fittingly titled book, Guide to the Dale Lands. This richly detailed regional guide expands upon the materials and adventures in Faerun, offering a closer look at each individual Dale and equipping you with everything you need to bring that region to life at your table. Meanwhile, Insights of the Dale Lands looks more at inns and NPCs and all manner of social encounters you might have in the Dale Lands, consisting of inns, local flavor, and rules for new mini games, as well as details on local holidays, festivals, and regional tournaments. Then there is Delves of the Dale Lands, which is the guide to all the dungeons and delves and other deep, dark dangers you might find if you're looking for dungeon crawls or other dangerous locales. That third book is for you. And then finally, it caps off with Adventures in the Dale Lands, which is an anthology of adventures from a wide variety of designers that takes you through level 12 and sets the stage for beyond that. Those are the 4 different books that will be dropping next year. So if you are running games or want to run games in that official D&D regions, these sound like amazing supplements to go along with the officially released Faerun books.
Yep. Yeah. Each of those is going to drop in a different quarter of 2026, starting with, like you said, Guide to the Dale Lands in quarter 1. So yeah,
yep. I'm gonna definitely be checking those out. I like the especially the second one, the inns and like the social stuff.
Because
I'm always looking for more of that type of thing, because that you can easily pull and throw anywhere.
Oh yeah, mini games, local holidays, festivals, regional tournaments. I mean, stuff like that is just downtime perfect. Everybody needs some of that.
So definitely, we'll definitely be checking that out, and we'll probably talk more about them as they get released as well.
Yeah.
All right, Ben. Well, we're about done with our last episode of the year. It has been a fantastic year of content. We've had so much fun just doing these every other week, and I'm excited for next year too. We're going to keep going. There's lots of new stuff to do. There'll be lots of new releases to talk about. Obviously, there'll be hopefully some really cool interviews we'll be able to do next year as well. But there's also going to be more games of ours as well, which is super cool. Ben, have you played at all since the last time we talked?
Actually, yes. We've had two sessions last time we talked because I basically said, hey, I'm going to be super busy and I'm not going to be able to run anything. So let's just kind of do some of the stuff real quick here and see how it goes. So, yeah, that worked. Man, we had some really good stuff. Some really, really good stuff happen. Sorry, I'm looking for one thing specifically, which I can't find. So I think I know what it is. Okay. Anyways. So yeah, last we heard they were flying on an airship towards a monastery called Turtle Rock. And there was big fire and stuff in front of them at the monastery. And a Draco Lich or an undead dragon was flying towards the airship. So ended up the Draco Lich had a mummy lord riding its back, attacked the ship, was working on it. And then also I made it so that it had like skeletons kind of crawling all over the body. So that one of the legendary actions I gave it, as it flew over, it would drop skeletons onto the deck of the ship as well. Now I use that for like a learning tool because the crystals that were holding the ship aloft were the same types of crystals that they encountered way back when they went into some dwarven ruins where a whole bunch of like undead skeletons were just standing there mesmerized looking at them. So I'm like, this is the best way to remind them of that and let them know that, hey, this is the thing that happens. Cause I figure it's part of something I added to the world. I wanted to actually give it more credence as something important because, hey, crystal dragons are cool and I want to make them do cool stuff. So anyways, they went through.
I'm always a huge fan of crystal dragons. Oh, yeah. Crystal dragons don't get used enough.
No, definitely not.
You know, side rant.
So they did end up killing the mummy lord and the Draco Lich. And as both of them died, they both yelled out, "What is dead and may never die." You know, whatever that means, who knows? They ended up getting to the monastery, and that's where the monastery is made up of a whole bunch of turtle because it's called Turtle Rock and I wanted Ninja Turtles in my game. So yes. Yeah, it's yes. A monastery full of turtles and one tabaxi because tabaxi are awesome. So they ended up defeating the rest of the undead there. And kind of the head of the order was like, you know, are you here to attack? Because another group has, and they're like, no. And so they ended up kind of talking, told them that they're here looking for a relic, you know, one of the big relics of the MacGuffins that they're hunting and everything. And they dropped a zone of truth to, you know, show their intentions and everything. So it's like, oh yeah, okay, everybody's cool. And it turns out that one of their youngest members has this relic, the Gloves of Tranquility, you know, monk tranquility. It works. So that was kind of surprising. And they ended up convincing him that, hey, you should come with us. You know, the monastery won't be attacked. If you're what they're looking for, we're going to take you away. Monastery will be safe. If anything, they'll come after us. We'll help protect you. You can help protect us, all that fun stuff. And one of the other turtles, because this character was, or this NPC was so young, wanted to come along to help, to watch over them and everything. Except they were asking really probing questions and were very insistent on going. And my cleric rolled an insight. It was over 30. So I'm like, oh yeah, this monk, this turtle, he doesn't stand like the others. He doesn't present himself the same way. His movements aren't as fluid. So there's something kind of going on about that. And so they did a couple things. The cleric was about to cast something and this turtle cast a counter spell because, well, they're shifty and maybe they're not a monk now. What's going on here? And my bard did, I think it's Psychic Lance, where if you know their name, you can attack them without seeing them. So they cast it using that NPC's name. And the psychic lance went way off into a different direction. So like, and then started attacking. And they totally dogpiled this turtle and just killed him. And when he died, it turns out it wasn't a Tortle at all. It was an Asimar using another relic, the Mask of Many Faces, that they were tasked to find, who had infiltrated the group. And then we stopped our session. Then the next session started. And, I'm sorry, I totally forgot to mention, a random arrow went flying and hit the paladin from somewhere as they were, you know, starting to attack the disguised guy. So next session started. No more arrows are flying or anything. They're kind of trying to figure out everything that's going on. The paladin ended up going on her own and was jumped and attacked by more people. And everybody, you know, went into combat and started running because she went across a long bridge to another kind of plateau area, was alone. And then she heard a voice yelling, "Come to me." And then by the time people got there and around a building where everybody was kind of scattering to, they were all gone. So they got away again, unfortunately. But now at this point, they have kind of, you know, figured out where they're going next. They're going to be going to the Shadowfell for the next relic. They're bringing the Tortle with them. So now I have a DM NPC that's going to be going with them that I have to figure out how to incorporate them into the story without taking everything over. They're obviously not near as high level. So it's going to be, you know, interesting to see kind of how that plays out and that extra bit that's being added to it. And we're going to have some adventures in the Shadowfell, see what happens there.
I have done Shadowfell before. We'll have to talk a little bit.
Oh, and then one other thing too. Sorry, I'm being reminded because one of my players is right over there. But one of the fun spells that my now rogue wizard has is Soul Cage. So she trapped that guy's soul in a cage and has 8 hours to question it and do other random things. So
before it poofs.
Yep, before away. It poofs. So yeah, there's gonna be some fun little interrogation probably happening too. So yeah, it's
cool.
It's pretty good. I mean, dude, level 17 has some crazy stuff available to it. And
yeah, it does.
Yeah, and I'm pretty excited about it. And
almost capstone.
Yeah, my goal is to get him to 20 for the final battle. So I want them to be completely legendary heroes that totally are deserving of their relics and saving the world and all that stuff. So yeah. Level 17, good stuff.
Epic. Love it.
How about you? You get a chance to play?
Yes, we did our last main campaign session of the year a few weeks back. This was basically the coming to terms with the player character that was snatched. And kind of integrating the, at least for now, temporary character that the player is playing. And he did an amazing job getting the integration going, like having a moment with all the other players individually. It was really good. Them basically getting information and trying to figure out, you know, what happened, where was their friend taken, the big siege of the bazaar is still going on, bad things are going to happen, and essentially they learned where the bad constable, bad warden, for this police force was going to be the evening before the order goes out to basically assault the bazaar and break in.
Oh, good.
But then using a secret passage they had found to get into the bazaar, you know, sessions and sessions ago, they got in and were able to, through a series of very fortunate rolls,
gotta love those,
scry on their missing player character friend.
Oh.
And figure out exactly where they were. So then they basically had a choice. Do we go for them? Or do we go and try and stop this bad guy? And they ended up setting up to go stop the bad guy.
Oh, man. Okay, so that character's player, how did you incorporate a new character in for them?
So we're doing like a city, more, you know, politically focused, very, all the characters have pretty deep backstories. This is definitely more of like a, I guess, if you want to compare it, Critical Role Campaign 2 situation, mm-hmm. where the characters are deeply embedded in the world. But in this case, it's probably more of a Campaign 4 situation. Like they're the whole Aramon thing.
Yeah.
If you want to give a more direct reference, that's more, a little more mainstream. Obviously my campaign has been going on for years at this point. But where the characters have deep backstory within this city. And so when you have that type of thing and you have this fleshed out area and this fleshed out city, it was very easy for my player to create another character that had good connections that could be then utilized for and by the party.
Oh, perfect then.
So that ended up working out really well. And obviously the whole group is very good from an RP perspective. Knowing that this is a new character, at least for now, that needs to be integrated so that the table can play coherently. Mm-hmm. But they've done a very good job of still reacting the way their characters would after this tragic event has happened. So I'm really proud of them all around. The RP has been super, super good. The integration has been super, super good. And it's not integrated yet, right? Like we're not there yet. They're still playing what is, at least at this point, a temporary character. So their decision point here could potentially have permanent consequences one way or another, because this was definitely a big inflection point. Do we go try and save our friend, or do we try and stop this thing from happening that could hurt a lot of people?
Yeah.
And I love they had the in-character conversation about it, because it was a hard decision to make. They like deliberated over it for a while. Like, do we go get our friend, or do we try and stop this bad person?
That's awesome.
But in the end, they were just like, this person's player character would want them to do this.
Yeah.
Type thing.
That's a big motivating factor.
more than save them, or more than worry about them. So, it was very good. It was very, very good. I'm very excited to pick it up again in the new year in January, but I'm also excited to have a little bit of break. I've got some stuff upcoming. We're going to be doing I'm running a one shot in the world in a different area. That's a callback to my second campaign, which several of the current players played in. So that is extremely exciting. It'll be a lot of fun to do that. And then this coming weekend, I'm very excited because my local game store is hosting an RPG weekend. I think I've talked about this a little bit before, but I'm going to be doing 7 different systems.
Are you doing it again?
Yeah. So this is the first time I've done this one.
Oh, okay.
We got signed up a few months ago, got signed up for games. It's actually happening this coming weekend. So I'm very, very, very excited to try out a plethora of different RPG systems. I think we're doing Marvel Multiverse, Candela, Daggerheart, Bloodborne, which is kind of like a streamlined version of Vampire the Masquerade. Stormlight. Call of Cthulhu, and then a system called Crisis, which I hadn't heard of before signing up for this. So it's maybe it's a good thing we're not doing another show, because I'd probably be confused about who I am after this weekend.
Yeah, you know what? Most likely
seven different characters over the span of 3 days. So that's gonna be super fun. It's gonna take my entire extrovert tank, I'm sure, and then some to do it. And then I will probably hibernate for several days afterwards. But I am very excited to learn a bunch of new systems and bring that experience and knowledge back to the podcast in the new year to be able to talk. Because we obviously love talking about D&D. The show's kind of named after it. But I'm very excited to hopefully take a few episodes next year and talk about some other systems. So this is a good experience. And like I said, if you ever get the opportunity to play another system, do it.
Yeah,
you can, because one, you might find something you really like and you are allowed to play more than one game.
What?
And I know, crazy, right? And two, sometimes you can take a lot of those mechanics or ideas from other systems and bring them back into your game, even if it is D&D still. I have done that many times and it has made my games better. So I highly, highly encourage, if you get to the chance to play other systems, do it.
Definitely.
A lot of good ones out there. All right. Well, Ben, I think that is going to wrap up our final episode of 2025. I've loved hanging out with you this year. I'm looking forward to doing it again next year. It's been a year. It's been a year, but we've gotten through. We've had a lot of fun times. So for anyone who's new and wants to continue listening as we move into the new year, Ben, why don't you tell everyone where we can be reached?
Of course. Well, if you want to reach out and kind of, you know, tell us about your year in games, or, you know, like Ryan was saying before, about any of the holiday one shots that we've kind of, you know, prompted and you've run, make sure to send us those emails to dndiscussions@gmail.com. If you want everybody to hear about it, though, you know what? A really great place to do that is actually our Discord server. You can find a link to that on dndiscussions.com. And the best thing about that is that there's a great community there, lots of fun people. People share stuff, memes, stories from their campaign. You know, people ask questions, they get advice from other people who are on it and stuff. It's a great experience. I really love the community that we fostered there. So join it. Join us, dndiscussions.com. You'll have a link to our Discord, as well as links to our Blue Sky accounts. So the show's account is at dndiscussions. If you're looking for Ryan, he is at tbkzord. And if you're looking for me, I'm at Ben Bumhofer. You know, find us there. And then, of course, every single episode that we've ever had is on dndiscussions.com, as well as those links. But you can also find them on your podcast player of choice. So check those out. Now, if you're sitting here listening to this and you want to hear my voice even more, I don't know why, but you can listen to me play some Dungeons & Dragons on Plus 5 to Hit. It is an actual play podcast that I do with some friends, and we are in Campaign 3. I think we just finished recording like episode 12 or something of that. And you know what? Things are getting kind of interesting. So, you know, check that out. Take a listen. Let me know what you think. But besides that, this show, D&D Discussions, find us on everywhere that your favorite podcasts are played. Ryan, thank you very much for hanging out with me as many times as we have this year. It is always a blast to talk to you. And you know what? I like talking about, you know, random gaming and stuff. And it's great to have you as a DM friend that I can, you know, share my ideas with, share my stories with, and then also kind of collaborate and stuff. I mean, I really feel like you helped me make my gameplay better. So I appreciate all that you do. And I love doing the show with you. So thank you for that.
Right back at you. Like, we've talked about this so many times. It's so important to get yourself a DM friend who does not play in your games that mm-hmm. you can gush about your cool stuff that is behind the scenes and you can't tell your players, or bounce ideas off if you're in a rut or you want some inspiration, or you're just thinking of trying something new or you need some help. Mm-hmm. It is so nice to be able to have that. So if at all possible, find yourself a DM friend who does not play in your game. You will thank yourself.
Or join our Discord, because there's a bunch of DMs there. Anyways.
Yeah. There's been a lot of really good discussion in the Discord this year. I've been really happy to see everybody chipping in, some funny memes, some great links to artists or Kickstarters or supplements and mm-hmm. such. So I'm excited to see where we go next year.
Yeah. So with that, everybody listening, thank you very much for all the support you've given us this year. You truly warm our hearts with all the nice things that you say. And just, you know what? Even if you don't say anything, just by listening. So thank you very much. So with that, everybody, happy holidays. Happy New Year. Roll high and be good to each other.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year from us to you. Take care, and we'll see you soon.